As we continue our look at growing as Christians from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, we have come now to the subject of godliness. Last week we looked at perseverance. It reads, starting in verse 5, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's interesting that this term godliness, when we look at it, at least from how I perceive it as an English word that we would define, I would think godliness would be meaning to be like God. But that's not necessarily the idea behind this word here. Now, this word godliness, it is more of the reverence that we ought to have for God. If I was going to say that there was an emotion that one should have when dealing with God, or that one would derive from worshiping God, it would be this. This would be, at least in my mind, how I would describe what this word is. It's an emotion of piety towards God, of devotion, of reverence. A year or so ago, I heard a story about a Christian college, a college supported by the church, that in that town, where the college was, there was a group of kids that broke off. They didn't like the direction that the college was going, and most of the congregations that supported that particular school, they thought that the worship that most of the rest of the student body and the faculty participated in was a little bit dry and emotionless. So they rented a facility. They took all the windows and covered it with black construction paper and dimmed the lights down very low so that you really couldn't tell who was seated next to you. They lit some candles and did other things, sat in circle, held hands and whatnot. And this was all for the purpose of obtaining a more an emotional response during what they deemed as their worship service. And as I thought about this and listened to what they did and how they went about it, it made me sad, the ignorance of these young people, that they wanted a worship experience, they wanted an emotion derived from their worship. And there's nothing wrong with being emotional when we worship. We ought to be. The thing is, this emotion that we have can't come from any external stimuli. If it does, then it doesn't have anything to do with God. If I have to dim the lights, or I have to play background music, or I have to do whatever it is to get me emotionally worked up, then I'm not worshiping in spirit and in truth. You see, this emotion here, that godliness, this piety towards God, this devotion, that can only come from within. A few passages that I want to look at this afternoon in regards to godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, the same chapter, starting in verse 2, it reads, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." That God has given us all things through his divine power that pertain to life and godliness, Christian life, and what we must do to obtain eternal life and godliness, that reverence that we have, that we ought to have throughout our lives. You see, we can't possibly obtain that what many people look for, that emotion in worship, unless we actually know God. God has given us everything that we need to know him. And if we know him, there ought to be a great amount of emotion that we have once we know who He is in regards to how high above us He is. Once we realize what we are, and when we sin, when we fall short of His glory, and what He did to redeem us, there should be a great amount of emotion in that. And that comes from knowledge, not just a simple knowing that I can memorize some verses and know what they say, but actually knowing what it means. When I understand who God is and what He has done for me, there should be a great deal of emotion in this. I should have a great deal of reverence, of awe for Him. Unfortunately, many people don't want to know God. You see, and I've heard this before. I haven't heard anybody say it, but I've seen examples of this. One, for instance, that this one lady, she had convinced herself that baptism had nothing to do with salvation. I heard a preacher talking about he went door knocking. He knocked on this lady's door and he struck up a conversation with her. And she made the statement that there is not one passage in her Bible that says anything about baptism. And he asked her to see the Bible so he could open it up and show her the passage that pertained to baptism in regards to salvation. And he opened it up. The first place he opened it up was Acts chapter 2. And that verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, had been cut out of her Bible. Every passage that he went to that mentioned baptism, she had taken and cut it out of the Bible. You see, that's not what she wanted. And she was going to do everything in her power to get rid of what she didn't want. I mean, people will do that. I don't want to know those things, because if I have a knowledge of it, well, I'm either going to be guilty or I'm going to have to act upon it. If I don't know, though, ignorance is bliss. I can go on doing what I want. These are the emotions that I want to feel. I don't want to feel guilt. I don't want to feel remorse. I want to feel good about myself. Preacher, preach something good so that I can feel good about myself. If we are living godly lives, we will understand what it is to have reverence for God. And we should feel that. Another passage, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. And it's interesting that this particular term, godliness, is used, I say predominantly, solely by Paul and Peter and their writings. No other writer in the New Testament uses this term. And the most of it is found in Paul's writings when he is writing to Timothy, instructing him how he needs to live his life and what he needs to do as a preacher to instruct other people how to live theirs. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he is told, "But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourselves towards godliness." Emotions they're pretty simple things. Everybody has them. And sometimes we think that they are so natural that they really can't be controlled. I either have this emotion, I am a loving, affectionate person, or maybe I'm kind of cold and frigid. Or maybe that I am accustomed to be depressed or very happy. And these are just how it is, and these are emotions that I have that I really can't control. It's just who I am. The thing is, that's not so. I believe I've used this example before, but when we're angry, whether we're angry with our spouse or a kid, our children, or angry with our parents, that it's amazing, even though we might be in an argument with them and be very heated, the minute our phone rings and it's our boss or our significant other or some other person that's really important that we definitely don't want to raise our voice to, all of a sudden it changes. And we go from being instantly mad, and maybe we still are mad, but now we speak to this other person very, very differently than the person we're angry with. You see, we can control that. We do it every day. We control our emotions all the time. Not only can we control them, but we can develop them. Emotions that we ought not to have, we can suppress those. And not just bury them in the back corner, leaving them there, but we can truly get rid of them. And we can develop those emotions that we ought to have. We are told that we are to exercise ourselves towards godliness. We ought to grow in reverence for God. The only way that we can do this is to gain a further knowledge of God. If we know who God is, if we truly study and know who He is, we can't help but to revere Him. In Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, six times throughout that we are told to meditate on God's Word. Meditate. Not just read through it. Because a lot of times, and I hear people talking about daily Bible reading. And a lot of this daily Bible reading happens at night. Have you ever tried to read your Bible before you go to bed at night? It's a really good way if you're not very sleepy to get really tired. You start reading through the Bible, and after a while, I've read two or three chapters, and I have no idea what I just read. I have no idea. I have to go back and read it three or four times, and I still don't know. I've read it, and that's okay. We didn't actually understand anything we read, but we read through it. To meditate on it, to concentrate, to focus on God's Word. How can we grow this emotion? How can we get rid of emotions that we ought not to have? We got to work at it. I mean, that's simply all there is, that we have to desire. We have to desire to work at it. The last verse I want to look at, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and reverence." Here Paul tells Timothy, here's what you need to do. You need to pray that you can live godly and reverent lives. This is how we're supposed to live our lives. Now, this is not merely some emotion that we have when we come to worship God, even though we ought to be very reverent and very, very, very pious. When we come before God, when we worship Him on a Sunday morning, when we gather together with like-minded people, our fellow Christians, but that's not it. This is not something that just we do every once in a while. This is how we ought to live our lives. Now, I want you to consider this, being someone that is reverent, that reveres God and respects Him a great deal of devotion towards God. That's not really compatible with society. Reverence and our society today do not go together. People don't have reverence for just about anything except maybe their own desires. Consider a truly reverent society. You look at the world religions and those that form cults or sects or have different groups of people, priests and so on and so forth, and you can't help but think of, first thing that comes to my mind, the Buddhist monks, right? You're familiar with those guys, the ones that always have a shaved head and wear the orange robes and do the chanting and whatnot, but they're very devoted to what they do. They live very ascetic lives, that they give up everything, and we think that, oh, those are honorable people. They basically go around thinking and doing good all day long. They have a great deal of reverence and devotion. It's very misplaced. But when we look at that, we say, you look at that group of people, and that doesn't resemble anything like what the world is at all. Now, what about the Lord's church? People that ought to know the truth, people that ought to know what it is to truly revere God. Is that what the Lord's church is today? Is that what I am? Do I live my life constantly as those Buddhist monks that have that are so deceived, but they are so devoted to their way of life. Me, knowing the truth, do I live every day, every moment of my life as someone that is devoted to God? Do I show that? Am I constantly in reverence of God? And think about this. If I am, how am I going to live my life when I'm confronted with the hardships of this world? What's that going to do? If I am constantly devoting my life to God, if I am constantly worshipful of Him, reverent to Him, how am I going to live? That's going to affect everything, every relationship I have, everything that I do is going to be tremendously influenced by this. Consider this, why all of these things put together, built one on top of the other, that and really, until we have these things, until we have knowledge, until we have self-control, we persevere in these things, there's no way that we are going to become that truly reverent worshiper of God. But it's necessary. Could you imagine a God that would be pleased with us, a people that aren't reverent, that don't respect or revere Him? We wouldn't accept that of our children. We wouldn't accept that of other people that in society, when we know that there is someone in a certain position of society, we wouldn't expect a judge or the president or anybody, any figure like that, to be willing to accept someone that's not respectful of that position. Do we respect, do we revere, do we regard God constantly throughout our lives? It's something that we should really, truly think about. It's good to be emotional people. As far as God is concerned, we ought to. I'm not saying that we ought to jump up and down or start crying or any of these outward signs. Worship comes from within our hearts. We worship in spirit, our heart, our inner man, and in truth how God wants us. We can't worship in spirit unless we are worshiping in truth. Are we reverent towards God? Are we exercising ourselves towards godliness? It's something for all of us to consider. I offer the invitation this afternoon. If you realize that you have been living your life trying to do the best you can, but you can say that it's really been anything but reverent as far as your day-to-day life, you can change that. We can change that. We can turn from that and do our best to work towards that, exercise ourselves towards godliness. I would encourage you to do that. If you're subject to the invitation this afternoon, if there's anything we can do for you, prayers of the congregation, if you have a concern, if we can help you at all, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.